Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family, in heaven and on earth, derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And again, as we turn to the word, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Your word is power. Your word is strength. Your word is enabling and equipping. And Lord, we want from your word today be different people going out to those who came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, if you have your Bibles to hand, I will encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Because these verses are very much a transitional part of this letter that Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, a church where he himself spent 3 years. As we look in the narrative in Acts chapter 19 and 20, a church that was so instrumental as an apostolic hub to plant other churches, all the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, the seven churches, along with Colossae and Hierapolis that we know of, were planted, because the word says in Acts 19 and 20 that all of Asia Minor heard the gospel. So this was an apostolic hub of a church. This was a church that had significance. And Paul is writing to them, and in the first three chapters, well, they weren't chapters then, but in the first part, it's very much doctrinal and some sublime teaching. And then he transitions into a prayer, because the latter part of the epistle is application, is how am I applying the doctrinal truth that I've just read about and heard, no doubt, Paul speak in those 3 years that he was in Ephesus. Because this letter was written about 8 or 9 years after Paul was there in Ephesus. Paul is now in Rome as he writes, and this is one of the prison epistles, along with Philippians and Colossae, that Paul writes. And he's writing to a people that he knows and that are dear to him and that he loves dearly. And he says, for this reason, and what is this reason in verse 14? For this reason, and he's talking of what we understand in chapter 2, of their standing in Christ, because this church in Ephesus was full of redeemed people, that their identity had been changed. For no longer were they Jew, no longer were they Gentile, but they were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their attitude had been changed. And Paul refers this in verse 1, for this reason,
I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles. He's just saying your identity's been changed, and that's why I'm speaking as I am. And again, he reiterates in verse 14, for this reason, what is the reason? Well, he's speaking to a people whose identity has been changed. And what's Paul saying? I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I bow the knee. The common practice was to stand in prayer, but Paul says, really out of reverence, awe, and just wonder, I'm bowing the knee, because such is the awesomeness of God who I'm praying to. And he describes him into the family from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. He's seeing the identity changed. He's seeing people no longer a Jew and a Gentile, but one in the family of God. And he reiterates this in verse 14, who family in heaven and on earth is named. And then he goes on in 16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Just want to break this up into three parts. That according to the riches of his glory, unlimited riches, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 7, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us, Christ Jesus. Turn to the person close to you and just say, God wants to lavish you with his grace today. God wants to lavish you with his grace today. As part of his riches in glory. For what reason? So that you may be strengthened. So that you may be strengthened or empowered or equipped with power, dynamis, where we get the word dynamite, through his Spirit in your inner being. That means for you, right now, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is empowering you with the strength of his riches in grace. And that is an awesome doctrine, and that's an awesome truth to take on board. And it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what you've done in part. Well, it does matter, because there's still chapters in your life that God wants to write that will have a profound impact on people that he will put across your path. And do I hear an amen to that? Amen. There's still a work to be done. For what reason? Verse 17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The more we are lavished by his riches of grace and glory, the more we are strengthened, the more we realize that Christ is actually dwelling in our hearts through faith. And the literal translation in the Greek is that Christ is making his home. Just think of that. Right now, in even greater measure, Christ is making his home in your heart. Irrespective of your age, irrespective of the aches and pains that you're going through, Christ is making his home in your heart. Back in 1949, on the Isle of Lewis, the last recorded revival in this country on the Isle of Lewis from 1949 to 52. There were two sisters, Peggy and Christine Smith. Peggy and Christine, between them, suffered from blindness and arthritis. They were both in their early 80s, but they realized that they were the recipients of God's grace. And they realized that God was enabling them to do something. And they realized that they wanted to make Christ more at home in their lives. And so with that in mind, they committed to pray in their small cottage just outside the town of Barves. and they got the minister of the local church, along with the deacons and the elders, to start praying for young people to come into the churches. And for a period of a few months, that is what they did together. These two sisters who could not move out of their cottage, but they were just such pillars of prayer. And then in the winter of 1949, revival broke out. And a lot of commentators have said one of the reasons, and there were a few of this revival where literally thousands were lives were impacted, was that two women, quite elderly, quite infirmed, two women who were the recipients of God's grace, two women who realized that they were being enabled by the strength of the Lord, and two women who made Christ their home. So their home literally became a powerhouse of prayer, made a difference. And I wonder what God is saying for you here at Rochford Congregational Church, and for you individually. Don't discount yourself. Don't rule yourself out. Oh, I'm this age, or I've got this ailment, or I've got this infirmity. Don't count yourself out. If God can use a blind lady, if God can use a lady with arthritis, well in their 80s, he can use you on the understanding that you'll know you're lavished by his grace, that you know that he's empowering you and equipping you, and you know that Christ Jesus has made his home in you. Do I hear a hallelujah? Hallelujah. I think that could be a bit louder. Hallelujah. Amen indeed. Oh, we could finish there, but we still got some more verses to go. That's you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what? The breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How well do you know that you are lavished not only by the grace of God, but by the love of God? 1885, in Boston, Massachusetts, in the 9th of January, there was a theological student by the name of Samuel Logan Brengel, and he was in his room, and he was struggling in prayer. And then God, on that morning, broke through into Samuel's life the reality of how much he was loved by God. He had a greater understanding from that morning onwards of the breadth, the height, the length, and the depth of God's love for him. And it changed everything, because when he came to that realization, he immediately left his study room and he went out on Boston Common, and there he experienced such a love, not only for God, but also for his creation. He goes on to say the sky was so blue, the trees were so green, there was such a vibrancy of colour. And then he had such a love for the world. And this defined his ministry in years to come. Because what happened, such was the explosion of love, that it changed him completely. And I wonder, and I speak to myself, those times, as I do remember and still remember him, where I've just been so in awe of the love of God for me. And I just wonder, when was the last time that you really had that God moment where you just realized that you are loved by God? One of the most esteemed theologians of the 20th century, Karl Barth, his students came to his deathbed expecting to hear some deep and wonderful doctrinal truth. And they said, Professor Bart, what is your last word to us? What are you saying to us that we can go and tell others? What doctrinal truth maybe you've not said before, but you've kept for your last breath? And Professor Cole Bart said, this is it. And repeat after me. Please do. Jesus loves me. This I know. Why? For the Bible tells me so. We are loved in and by the Beloved. And when Brengel realized that, it changed everything for him. Because on that day, Brengel was struggling with pride and selfish ambition. And on that day, that left him, all pride left him, all selfish ambition went. And in its place, as it says in the end of verse 19, he was filled with all the fullness of God. And he goes on to record to say, I've never had such an experience of being full of God. Galatians 5, 22, 23, the fruit of the Spirit, his love, his joy, his peace, his faithfulness, his self-control, his kindness, his gentleness. And that's a wonderful truth. We can never come to a point in our lives where we say, I have it all. God has still got more to give. Turn to the person near you and just say, God has got more in store for you. God has got more in store for you. And I just think that God has got more in store for this Rochford Congregational Church. As I said, there's chapters to be written. Now to him, within the context that we have just heard and read, now to him, who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Peggy and Christine Smith are still talked about today. They're still mentioned in discussions whenever revival is spoken about. They're still spoken of today because, for what reason? Primarily, God chose two women to show that he's immeasurably more God. Because when I look at myself and my aches and my pains and that those things that I'm going through, I can look to see, well, if God can use Peggy and Christine Smith with the infirmities that they had and the age that they were, God can still use me. Why? Because he's the immeasurably more God who can do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. There's still chapters in your own life for his service that are still to be written. Why? Because the immeasurably more God wants you in your testing to be a testimony. In your testing to be a testimony. As Peggy and Christine were. And God, through them and their prayers, impacted the lives literally of thousands. Samuel Logan Brengel in 1887 went to a service in Boston, and there he met the founder of the then Salvation Army, William Booth, and Samuel Brengel joined the Salvation Army soon after. And for 30 years, Samuel Brengel had a worldwide mission and ministry where God, through him, impacted the lives of thousands upon thousands, both into a deeper consecration and a first-time commitment. But it all started with Brengel realizing that God is lavishing me with his love and he's equipping me with his power, and there's still chapters to be written, but I serve an immeasurably more God. And I wonder what God is saying to you. Just as I was praying over these last few days, just three words, maybe for somebody or maybe for more people today. Don't discount yourself. Don't rule yourself out. Don't say, well, because of this or because of that, God has still got a ministry for you. God has still got a work for you to do, to show to others through you the immeasurably more God that he is. There's still, as I said, there's still chapters to be written. But for Peggy and Christine and for Samuel Logan Bringle, it began to say, it starts with you, Jesus. It starts with you, Jesus, that you lavish me with all the riches of the Godhead. That you lavish me with the truth that you're strengthening me. That you're lavishing me with the truth that you're wanting to make your home in me. You're lavishing me with the fact that you're pouring such divine enabling into my heart that all I want to do is just to praise you and to worship you.